Curating Boise is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome to Curating Boise, the podcast that celebrates the hustlers and the shakers, the ones that took the short route of being their own creative boss right away, or the ones that left their corporate jobs, like me, your host, Catherine Wojcik. Hey, okay, everyone, welcome to Curating Boise. This is my 9th episode. I can't believe it. I thought when I was doing episode 1 and 2, I thought, wow, I'll never get to maybe more than 5. But here we are, episode 9. And today I am sitting here with the owner of Push and Pour, Lucas Erlbach.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for
having me here.
Thanks for riding your bike over here.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that.
You know, it was a really sunny week and then it kind of took a turn and now it's rainy, but
kind of decent weather.
We had a little
though.
Bit of a clear sky, so yeah. I figured I'd get on my bike and get over here.
Yeah, definitely. And then off to the side of me, I've got my little bro, Daniel. He's sitting in, he's listening to the podcast. He swears he won't say anything at all. But he's dying to. I know he will. And before we get going, as usual, we have already cracked our beers. We are drinking, and I totally dig this name, Schmitz and Giggles. It's a Bock. It's from Powder House. I love Powder House. Usually I'm a Pilsner person. So this is a little bit, a little heavier. It's got a nice, good taste to it. It's like a nice 6% as well. So decent.
I should have cracked it.
I know. Usually we kind of like do crack, but you looked thirsty. I let you do it before. That's all right. But we did do the crack. But listen, you know the drill. If you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you've got a cold beer or a nice bourbon going, and you'll have another one going as you get through this podcast. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. Lucas owns Push and Pour, which started in Garden City.
Correct. We started on 34th Street in Garden City.
And did you just come across this month, right? An anniversary.
Yes. Oh, no. Actually, we had a third year anniversary in December.
Oh, okay.
December 1st is when we opened. December 1st, 2017.
Right. Okay.
And then we opened the new shop December 1st, 2020.
Oh, okay.
So the new shop's been open for like 4.5, or I guess 5.5 months now.
Yeah, it was just over there. It's a pretty nice little spot.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I always explain to people it's like in the Bermuda Triangle of Boise. Yeah, because it's like right next to downtown and right next to Ann Morrison, but it's in this little pocket that hasn't really yet been discovered.
Yeah, like maybe you could get lost over there.
Yeah, you could for sure.
Definitely.
But you'll hopefully find us.
I think they would find you very easily. Yeah, it's a good, good spot. I think it's a nice visibility. So when you came up with the name Push and Pour, what I was reading is skate is the push.
Correct.
Coffee is the pour.
Correct.
I know you're a skater.
Yeah, so I'm a skateboarder. Hence the skating. Actually, funny story. We didn't even have the name of Push and Pour until like 3 weeks before we opened. We were just going for it, and we were like, "We're gonna figure it out no matter what. We'll just open, even if we don't have something figured out. We'll just open and figure it out as we go. That's kind of our motto.
That's a good one.
And we were just kind of sitting there one night and tossing ideas around for names. We had obviously hundreds of them and narrowed it down to 10. And I don't even think that was on the list, and it came up, and we were like, instantly, it was like, that was it.
That's good. Yeah. It's worked for you because I think everyone, I really do feel like if you're a coffee drinker, and a good coffee drinker, and you say Push and Pour,
people like it.
It's good.
I think it's cool too because it sounds good, but also there's like a meaning behind it if you want to dig into it, or it's surface level, it kind of makes sense too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So the coffee itself, you guys are roasting on site now?
Yeah, everything's roasted on site, right? Okay. In that, if you're looking at the building in the right bay.
Okay. All right. And before it was out at MAPS.
Yeah. So Jens is still, he roasts all our coffee on site. Yeah. So he still does all of that coffee roasting and everything for us.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah. I've known Jens for as long as I could know, probably since I was 13, 14, maybe 15. Oh, skating. Gosh. I mean, it's all skating, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And so when we were like, we're going to open a coffee shop, it kind of made sense.
Yeah. To hit up your friends. It's always good to hit the talent of your friends.
Yeah.
Or at least maybe their passions. And then.
Yeah. And that's a good thing about skating is it kind of, there's not really like a lot of things, it's like such an age, like relation kind of thing. But skating, you're kind of friends with any, all ages, everybody, anywhere. So there's it's kind of a big group of people you can.
Yeah, I think.
Pretty resourceful.
Yeah, in the skating industry, I know just even like with shops of skaters or like if you're skating for a particular company, you know, you make all these relationships.
Yeah, exactly, and they just for sure.
Go like and it just transcend, kind of goes, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Which brings me to really super quickly, as a skater, you skate exclusively for Prestige or?
Yeah, for always.
For always. Forever. To death.
Yeah. Well, when I was a little kid,
you have Prestige tattoo somewhere?
No, I don't actually have any tattoos, but a lot of my friends have Prestige tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Prestige was always cool, like the cool place when we were little kids.
Okay.
And they've been around for, I think, 17 years now, and they're kind of like a staple in Boise.
Nice.
But I grew up in Star.
Okay.
And so, like, I
said. Wait, are you related to someone? Is someone a mayor of Star that you're related to?
No,
yes,
my dad was
something?
On city council for a long time.
Okay, all right.
That's but to touch shortly on that, we got a skate park built. The Star Skate Park is named after my dad.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah, and my dad still lives there in downtown and like.
So kind of like
rides his four wheeler down there and is like, make sure he like checks on the skate park. He doesn't skateboard. He's never
it
has.
Up or,
yeah, he sweeps it up and like yells at kids smoking and stuff. It's pretty funny. Gosh. You'll definitely see him if you go there.
They're like, hey, grandpa, you got a cig?
Yeah, exactly. But back to Prestige. It was always like the cool thing. And
yeah,
I obviously never really grew up in Boise. When I was a little kid, when I started skating at 9 and all those kids and all the Prestige people were like the kind of the people we idolized.
Yeah.
So I think Paul Whitworth actually asked me to skate for Prestige when I was like 13 or 14.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe 15. No, I was probably younger, probably 14. And I was like, yeah, of course I'll drop everything. And then ever since then, those guys have always been like they've been my best friends to this day.
Oh gosh.
It's kind of been like my big knit type crew or whatever, I guess.
Yeah. I
from
suppose
Boise that.
There's a lot of youngins that are skating at Rhodes and all that, that are
insane.
Looking up to you guys going, oh my God, you skate for Prestige.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like when we were kids, the skate scene was like 20 people.
Oh gosh.
And that was like big. It was growing, right? And now it's like
massive.
Yeah, there's so many good skate parks and it's so accessible and it's acceptable now, I guess, to some aspect. Like it's cool to do.
It is cool. I mean,
it always was cool, but now it's like cool to the average person.
It is. Well, and then you get those annoying bladers that probably jump in there like Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just throw Eric.
Yeah, those guys
are,
at least they're good at it.
They're good at it. They for sure are. I've seen their clips. They're pretty good. Actually, it's pretty amazing what you can do on rollerblades.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Lucas, where'd the whole idea for Push and Port? Like, what were you guys, I mean, you're skateboarders. You're being sponsored by a great skate shop.
Correct. Yeah.
How did we get into this whole coffee thing? Like what happened?
Well, my first job I ever had was a coffee shop.
Okay.
I worked at a Moxie Java in Star.
Love Moxie Java.
Yeah. And it actually, there was no reason why, except for it was the closest thing to my house.
Okay.
And I didn't have a car. So I was like,
I can get there on my skateboard.
I grew up landscaping with my dad. That's like what he did. So every summer we landscaped and I was like, manual labor is not for me. This is, I like it, but doing it is rough. It's like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So the closest place to my house was a coffee shop. So I walked over there. I got the job like the next day and I worked there for like 5 years.
At Moxie Java.
Yeah.
In Star.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It was crazy. And I like saved money, go on skate trips and kind of that. And then I was like, and then my buddy, Shay Cooper.
Okay, Shay. Now we're bringing Shay.
Yeah. Opened up the Crux.
All right.
I guess it wasn't 5 years. I probably worked at Moxie Java for 3 years. It felt like five. Should have felt like 10. But
So
I started working there when I was like
17
to 19, 20 or something like that. But
wow. Okay, so you met Shay there.
That's kind of coffee.
So, yeah.
So actually, I knew Shay way before then.
Okay.
Through skateboarding. He skated for Prestige.
Okay.
Same friends. We didn't go to the same high school.
Wow. Is he from Boise?
He was not from Boise, but he lived here.
Okay.
Correct. And he was from Portland, I think is where he was born. And so his family like kind of knew about Stumptown Coffee and stuff.
Oh yeah, Stumptown, love it.
Yeah, mm. And so then obviously it was the greatest coffee of all time, we all thought, you know.
Oh yeah.
Which still is.
It is, it's just a little.
Yeah, and so side. They kind of opened the Crux. I don't know exactly what year it was, but.
Gosh, that was a while ago. I was trying to find a date. Everything's so like tight on that,
yeah.
You know, on the feet.
And it was
that.
Almost like ahead of us. Like he was kind of doing it and I was still like in Star and we were skating, but we were just like working and kind of partying
right.
and skating,
yeah.
Not really thinking about like what people were really doing. And so they were kind of getting into craft coffee, right? It was way different than like,
oh, yeah.
this shit that I was serving at Moxie Java.
For sure, yeah.
Like completely
How
different.
How much chocolate do you want in this?
Yeah. And so I was always interested because they were making like Rosettas and yeah. I had like worked in a coffee shop longer than them. And I was
you
like,
had
but
no
you guys
idea.
Were like way doper than me. Like what am I doing wrong?
Right.
And so I think that was kind of the first like glimpse of like craft coffee,
yeah,
like taking it from just like, oh, I like this job and I like talking to people and like
right.
it's a good way to start. Like I really liked working at a coffee mm-hmm. shop, I really enjoyed it, and then I was like, oh, well, I could like do this,
I could actually be an owner.
Yeah. And then well, I was like, I even just liked my experience kind of developed with like there and the Crux and the people and
yeah.
the culture and the community, and
right
I could see like the art shows and all the shit that they were doing.
Oh yeah.
And it was, I was like, damn, this is sick.
Yeah, it was a good little venue, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was, I mean, it transformed from like a little coffee shop to like a full-on music
full
venue.
Full thing. Oh,
like
yeah, definitely. So now, is Shay the one that's in
yeah,
Oceanside?
Yeah, so Shay lives in Oceanside now and has started Steel Mill Coffee.
All right, so shout out to
down
Shay
there.
Down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, shout out to Shay at Steel Mill Coffee. Yeah, he's still one of my best friends. I talk to him
that's
all the time.
That's great. Wow.
We always get advice from each other if we're in a pickle about some weird
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Local kinda boys nice. Going
yeah.
coffee.
I probably wouldn't have like a coffee shop if it wasn't for them and like working at the Crux, because they kind of brought me on pretty right. early, which was cool.
So the big influence.
Oh
for
yeah,
you then.
Huge one. Yeah, for sure.
Were they already? Was Shay already like thinking big coffee, like leaving and going? I mean, SoCal's pretty.
Yeah,
it's a pretty
I
big jump. I think from here,
he definitely wasn't. No, I
no?
think like. The coffee shop, like his parents started here. He was like, cool, I'll just run this place.
Yeah.
And I'll skate and like I'll make money and travel.
Yeah.
And then he moved there definitely to skateboard.
Okay.
Because he was,
makes sense.
He's a great skateboarder. He
yeah.
fucking rips. And so he kind of moved there for that. And then he worked at a coffee company there.
Okay.
And then it kind of just transpired and like, well, I should just open my own shop with
yeah.
my friend. So that's just what he did there, which is really
and
cool.
And the friend being?
Yeah. His friend Riley Hawk is who he opened it with. And a couple other their friends. There's a little like kind of collective of them.
Yeah.
But
so
Shay's definitely like the man behind it.
Which is great. So
he's definitely like the brain behind it.
This is the Hawk of
Tony Hawk.
Tony
yes,
Hawk. So, correct. So if my kids decide to listen to this, I really don't know what they do with my podcast. They might just hit play and walk away. I don't
right,
know.
Right. They're like, where are we?
But anyways, I do know some people that know other cool people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you can tell them that.
So yeah, so that's
which is another skateboarder. Kinda, so
that's interesting.
And
yeah.
his son rips too. They're all.
Oh
skaters,
gosh, yeah.
yeah.
I've actually watched. I think I actually saw his son. On some skateboarding thing I was watching.
Oh, cool.
That
yeah,
just happened to pop up on TV one time.
Really nice kid. He's
yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that's great. Okay, so one of the things that, what I like about, so Push and Pour is on the Greenbelt on 34th.
Correct.
Correct, in the Greenbelt. Beautiful setting, old garage that
correct.
You guys took. It has
yeah,
it has
doors.
The pull-up, right? The
mm-hmm.
doors. You have a little, some hand-built, like, wood
benches.
Counters outside, benches
yeah.
for people to sit at. What I like about the coffee shop is the aesthetic. It looks
oh,
super
you.
Clean. It's, you know,
yeah.
it looks modern, but yet it's not, you know?
Correct, yeah.
I love, yeah, and I like the vibe in there. But what I really liked, too, was all of your poles, your little tampers and
oh, yeah,
all
made
that.
Out of skate
yeah.
stuff.
Made out of skate
yeah.
stuff, right?
It's transmigration woodworking.
Oh, that's amazing.
Matt, he's awesome, yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, and a lot of them, it's actually cool. They're all like our friend's skateboards that they're made out of. Some of them are my old skateboards. It's pretty sick.
Oh, my gosh.
And he like cuts them all down. I don't know how he does it. I mean, I know how he does it, but I don't even know how he does it. It's a crazy thing.
So, Dan, the tamper is that round thing with it has like a little, I don't know what you call that, a stem.
Yeah, it's
and
like
it's flat and it's what
a little weight
pushes down on
push
the espresso
down on the espresso and the oh. portafilter to like
yeah
kind of compact it so it
so you know like on my espresso machine at home it's that thing and then you hook it in there. That's what the tamper does. It pushes down that espresso, but those the handle part is made out of the skateboards.
Yeah, they're beautiful actually.
They're
he, like,
amazing
takes the skateboards and cuts them down and
colorful
them all together and,
very colorful. Does he
yeah.
sell those outside?
Yeah,
of,
he does. I'm pretty sure he's like at all the markets.
Oh,
and
wow.
you can get at him on Instagram and
that's
all that
cool
kind of stuff. I think he mainly does like kind of commission based stuff. Yeah. Obviously, because it's pretty, like,
it's custom stuff. It's very talented.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, he made us a bunch of porta filters and handles and beer taps. And he just made this kid that works for us, like, his shifter in his truck, which is pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he makes all sorts of crazy stuff. He actually made Prestige, like, a little mini fire hydrant.
Oh, my gosh. I know someone who owns a really cool vintage VW van.
Oh, whoa.
That I'm trying to grab. Maybe if I end up with that, I can have something made for that.
Yeah, you're like,
it's my brother.
Oh.
We'll get him involved in here somehow.
So, yeah. At some point.
I know. Yeah. Well, he's looking like he wants to. We'll see. We'll see. So why did you guys pick Garden City to start?
We didn't really pick it.
Okay.
I think it chose us.
Oh. Well, we
were kind
cosmic.
Of just like, we'll go to Boise.
Yeah.
I was actually living in San Francisco at the time.
Oh, dang.
I lived there for like almost 5 years, 4.5 years.
Wow.
And my partner, Brennan, was actually just moving back here.
Conroy.
Okay. Yeah. He was just moving back here.
Okay.
And so I would always come back and forth a lot. My family lives here and I obviously have a big heart here. So I'd always come back.
Yeah.
And we were always kind of looking, tossing around the ideas. And our other Colin Clark ran into Brennan in like Estonia or something, somewhere crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
In the world. And he was like, hey, Lucas is thinking about moving back to open a coffee shop. And we all were just like, all right, well, let's just figure this out and do
this right
now. And so we were all just kind of like searching for anywhere that we could find. And everything, like we never really had a realtor go find us a spot or anything. Yeah. It was real organic. We were just like, let's just look around and find something. It could be this big or it could be 2,000 square feet, like the building is there. And we had kind of zoned in on that area because like the yard arm was over there.
Right. Yeah.
Corridor was over there. And we didn't even know those guys at the time.
Oh, wow.
And now they're like some of our best friends.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of trying to figure out where to be.
Was the Greenbelt an influence? Like,
It was a big influence. I grew up on the Greenbelt and I knew it was like a pretty straight shot to downtown and like connect to Prestige and stuff. And we had actually looked at the building across Chinden, which is like Matt's barbershop or something now.
Is it over there? Like, is that over there by where the barbecue guy is?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Were you going to say that?
And that kind of shot us down that road.
Right. Yeah.
That was over there, which obviously Quinn's Pond and stuff wasn't there yet. And then the brothers that owned that building just went and knocked on their door and were like, hey, we want to rent this building from you guys.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah, and that was kind of, and they were like, sure.
Gosh, I wish I could have found something like that in Southeast.
We moved back. I moved back like 4 days later and signed the lease, and we started like doing demo work on it like 4 days later. So it was like boom, 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 and we were like, well, shit, here we are.
Well, you guys are really fast because, I mean, as fast as that one went up, so did the one on Ashen.
Yeah, yeah. So
Ashen.
River. Yeah, well, it's actually like Ashen Grand, but Ashen River.
Yeah, I mean, that went up crazy fast too.
Yeah, we tried to just do it without really telling anybody because we're still working on doing one on the bench, but there has been like all sorts of issues, but like the building caught on fire and just stuff like that.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. And so we've been like, everybody's always like, what's the deal? And we're like explaining it to them. So we're just like, let's just do this. And when it's ready, we'll just tell everyone that it's open instead of.
Well, those are like three really great spots. Garden City.
Yeah.
Right there. Payette Brewing's right there. The river's still there.
Yeah.
You're kind of just like right there. And then the bench. I mean, that's the next coolest spot.
Triangle.
I don't know. Yeah.
The bench is definitely going to be.
It's up and coming.
It's already is. Yeah. It's kind of the only direction people can go. And there's so much cool stuff up there.
Well, and it's such, for me, I'm Southeast, you know, downtown Southeast. You know, you head up, you get to the bench, you can you dip back down.
Yeah.
You're right there. You can even bop to Garden City pretty quick.
Sure.
It's a nice trip.
For sure.
Through.
But yeah, so that's how the Garden City location kind of came about. It was
that's
just
great.
Like super like, well, this is it. And then we all had it in the whole left side at once, and then we've kind of just slowly taken over the whole building because we've just kind of been growing and expanding. And
that's, and that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, and so we were just like, we'll just keep going, and it just so worked out to be the perfect kind of space for it. And how lax, Garden City's changing faster than you could believe it
I mean, back in the 90s, Garden City sucked.
I mean, shit, 5 years, four,
God,
3 years
geez.
When we opened
no,
it.
Seriously, I know it did. I mean, I was just like, ew.
Yeah, it was just different. And
it's different
funny.
Vibe.
Like, people
now
don't
it's
understand.
Better.
Yeah, people are now, they're like, Garden City's so great. And I'm like, well, you're like three blocks of it. You're like four blocks of it. Like,
keep going.
Yeah, just keep. I mean, it's
keep
great,
driving.
But it's not like all this like fancy stuff
well,
that
no.
you think it is, you know? Or like.
No. I think you have to stop like 34th.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't know.
You know, kind of like where Bridget had her, you know, collective and
Garden
you know,
City
Western.
Projects,
Garden City Projects and Western Collective Beer is like right there. Yeah. It's kind of like,
it's cool though. Some cool stuff is starting to like kind of go deeper. Like there's all those like kind of off or warehouse spaces on 36th or 37th. Yeah,
those are pretty interesting.
And there's some cool people moving into there and stuff, which is cool. And
Rawhide and Garden City Projects are down on 41st or 43rd. I can't remember, but they're right down there.
And then Acme is across the street, hiding out from everybody. But
They're in the back. Best.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. Wait. Ask that question in the microphone.
Is this your coffee shop on my iPhone?
That is the coffee shop. That is the internet. You could order online right now and go. Actually, we're closed, but you could order online and pick something up tomorrow.
Pick something up tomorrow morning on your way into the St. John's.
So you can access that through on the Greenbelt?
Yeah. It's like right by the Surf Wave in Quinn's Pond.
He's interacting. Pretty soon gonna take over.
Our new one is only like 2 miles down the Greenbelt. Actually, pretty close
you
to this.
You can get from the one to there, right?
Yeah, for sure. So on that pathway, Pioneer Pathway right there.
Yeah.
The city of Boise is supposedly going to connect it.
Oh my gosh.
To Camelsback, I believe, down 11th Street.
That'll be great.
There's going to be like raised bike lanes, so you'll be able to, because that kind of shoots right over by Payette, and then you can go both ways on the Greenbelt.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be, everything's going to be bikeable. Breweries, coffee shops.
And we're such a different, like, I guess, vibe of a coffee shop to where we're kind of later in the, you know, we're more of like a, not like a morning rush, like grab your cup of coffee. And
like
go.
I'm in a hurry, dude.
Yeah, it's
like
kind
hurry
of just like,
up.
Oh, we're going to go walk or go
absolutely.
Get a bike.
I mean, it's not that I think you guys are slow, but I do, when I do walk into your place, it's like.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is.
I'm comfortable waiting. Yeah. Wait till you're done. Here's my order.
Yeah, which
I'm
is kind of good that we've kind of made that it, because then you kind of take your time and make the coffee.
Yeah,
good,
I mean, you're.
People aren't like in this crazy rush. They're like, oh, I'm going to come here for like.
Yeah.
And know I'm coming here.
And they probably enjoy your energy of that, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Still working, I guess.
Totally. until you get those people in, but you won't. Since Garden City doesn't have, you know, intense corporations over there yet, like, or law firms or crazy things like that,
I mean,
you're not going to get the rush of that stuff.
Yeah, and if you're coming down there, you're only coming to see us. I mean, now there's different stuff, but before there wasn't really anything.
Yeah, I've been down there when the, I've avoided it now. I'm busier on the weekend, so I don't get as much time to go out, like, to the open-air market down there and stuff.
It's crazy.
One time I went down there, and then your place was insane, too.
Yeah.
Nowhere to park, so it gets pretty tricky during that stuff.
The new market now, since they, like, sold all that land down there, they're not doing it in the lot specifically, so they're doing it on the road.
Nice.
And I don't know if that's permanent or not, but it's, like, it makes us, like, the center of it.
Yeah.
Which is great, but it's crazy. Like,
we
had a line for, like,
busy.
8.5 hours, like, straight.
Have you thought maybe about pushing like a small cart maybe out there?
Yeah, so we built a cart for the farmer's market last year before COVID happened, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually going to start doing it this Saturday.
Okay.
I was going to do it the other 2 days ago, but it was raining, so I didn't do it.
But everybody wants to have Lucas make their coffee.
Well, good.
Lucas?
If you come to the coffee shop, the odds are probably pretty high that I'll be there making
your
coffee.
I'm sure.
I know, it's funny. Sure. I get so many people like now, especially, I mean, I'm at both shops all the time, but people will ask me like how often I work or how many hours a week I work, or if I work
job.
At both locations. You know, I'm like, dude, I've worked 7 days a week.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing.
I mean, I think that's what makes I don't know. The feedback I get from my own self, from my own businesses, is people enjoy the interaction with the owner.
Yeah.
When the owner starts to be eliminated.
Yeah.
And my brother can probably talk to this a little bit too, because he's also a small business owner, transitioning out of that. But I think when you start to add too many filters in between you and the customer, it dilutes a little.
Yeah, I think it's real important for, like, especially a local, I mean, small business, to have that interaction with the owner of the business.
And
sometimes I think maybe it's a little, like, sometimes I'm there every day and I'm like, man, maybe these people are over, like, seeing me.
No.
They're like, what in the, dude, do you ever go home? And I'm like,
you're like, no.
Good morning again. And they're like, God damn.
Hey, I made you a late night coffee.
Yeah.
And now I'm bringing you your early morning Americano.
Like, you were on a different date yesterday. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. See you later.
You probably see a lot of shit, too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Dang. Well, the last time when you walked in today, the last time I actually saw you was out at Anderson Reserve.
Yeah.
You were out there teaching their barista.
Yeah.
Because they're using your coffee.
Correct. Yeah.
That's
Parker.
Cool.
I was out there with Parker. Yeah. He's awesome.
Nice.
But yeah. That place is crazy.
Oh, gosh.
Their story's insane, too.
I love Anderson Reserve.
What's Paul? I think his name
Paul.
Like a Sprint car driver or funny car driver?
Funny car driver. That's even better.
Yeah. I think he's a funny car driver.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. No, that place is amazing. Have you been out there yet, Daniel? Anderson Reserve?
What is it?
It's It's a steakhouse. It's a restaurant.
Oh.
It's out in Sweet. Nice. Like Sweetola? Out there? Out that way?
I have not. It's okay. A camp up there. But
it's like the only thing out there.
It's amazing. Yeah. So when Ed comes into town, we're going to, the four of us, will go out there. It's so good.
Yeah.
They start doing breakfast and they do brunches and
it's like a real experience. You just go out there and kind of enjoy it. And
the drive is amazing. So, you know, going out through Horseshoe Bend and then hook our left.
Yeah, because we go up to Seishin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right, out that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guys live up there. It's crazy. It's so gorgeous.
Gosh, can you imagine? I had a friend, my friend Will. His mom and dad were just, I think they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary.
Okay.
And he did a helicopter ride for them out to Anderson Reserve. That's like a package they do.
Oh, crazy.
Can you even imagine that?
You get the helicopter package to push and pour.
Yep.
Light on the roof.
Oh, my God.
Shake the whole building.
You got to start a package there, Lucas. Come on.
All right, next thing on my website for combo deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Helicopter ride up the Boise River.
So tell me a little bit about, like, personal life as far as skating. Where's the farthest place you've gone to skate?
Oh.
Like competition or something, right?
Compete? Yeah, I wasn't really super into competitions or anything like that. I definitely skated in a lot of competitions. Okay. But, I mean, I've been to China. I went all over China, which was really cool. That was pretty fun. I spent like almost a month there with one of my really good friends, James Cabs, which is like, he's like one of the best skaters.
Oh,
and he lived here actually.
Okay.
He doesn't claim Boise, but he kind of claims that he's from here, basically.
You should claim Boise.
Yeah.
Man, what's
this
his
is just,
name?
I hope he listens to this. And
James
Cabs.
James Cabs. Come on. Claim Boise.
I went there with him though for like a month and it was insane.
China. Wow.
Yeah, we went all over. We took like a 40-hour train ride from Shenzhen to Beijing and like went to the Great Wall and it was sick.
And were you guys filming?
Yeah, we filmed. There's like a whole video parts and stuff you can find on the internet if you just search it. Like that. Yeah, there was a lot of cool skate trips that I went on. That was probably one of the coolest ones.
Okay.
I went to Cuba for 3 weeks, which was really cool. It wasn't the farthest, but it was definitely like the most, probably the, like just culturally crazy.
Right.
Like, it was intense. It was cool. Yeah, one of my other good friends, he runs a organization called Cuba Skate.
Okay.
And it's like bringing skateboards.
Skate
and,
there.
Yeah. And not even really just bringing skateboards there, like kind of trying to teach the youth and stuff of like how to make skateboards and kind of be self-sufficient.
Okay.
Because they can't get skateboards and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah, which is crazy. But they have a huge skateboard scene there now, which is great. Wow. And we built a skate park there, which was pretty cool.
In Cuba?
Yeah.
Dang, Lucas.
But like we didn't. I mean, I helped. It obviously has been taking forever. But like when I was there.
Yeah.
We worked and like built some of the quarter pipes and stuff like that. Dang. So that was cool. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's really interesting.
And then they have like a little wood shop that they kind of been making and like making skateboards and stuff. So that was pretty sick.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I've been to Europe a few times and we're all kind of, I mean, skateboarding, that's kind of the name of the game. You travel.
Yeah, it's
that's
a
kind
big
of the
click.
Whole point
it's
of why you do it.
Big click for
sure. Yeah, you're like, oh, I want to skate and kind of skate all over the place and all the architecture and all the skate spots and stuff
like
that.
Yeah. You guys look for, I'm sure, look for the cool things to skate on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's always your in your eye. Like, for me, I look around and I'm driving and I'm always looking for junk.
Oh, yeah.
You know? wait, is that missing a wheel? I could probably find a new wheel for that. And I scoop it up. But you're probably looking for, like,
for sure.
Pipes and
skate spots.
Things to grind.
It's almost like
a
foreign language. Yeah. Especially if you're, like, have nothing.
Yes.
Like, no, you can't, like, compare it to anything or even have the, like, verbiage of it. It's
right.
Just like you'll hear people and you're like, what are you talking about?
I know. It's like when Eric and I go picking and we're driving, he'll be like, oh, and I'm like, what are you looking at? He's like, oh, there was this cool edge.
Yeah, like that three stairs like, right there. You're like, what?
Don't
he's like,
know any of it.
Moved all the trash and swept it up and spent 4 hours cleaning it up. You can like skate it.
You
and
can
wax
skate
it
there
and
we can jump off
and
this
get
and
kicked
that.
Out in like
oh
2 seconds.
Yeah. And I, that's probably like pretty cool when you guys get kicked out of places too.
Yeah.
Go back, try to get
Try to get through it.
Yeah,
when you're a kid, it's not as bad, but now it's kind of weird. You're like a grown adult.
Well,
and you're
like,
I'm sorry.
Dude, I bested you when you were 12.
Like, you served me a latte this morning. What are you doing here? And I'm like, shit.
You're like, oh, God. Yeah. I just got called out by a cop.
I'll go back to the skate park.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Well, is there anything? I don't know. I mean, gosh, I just feel like, man, push and pour is it's a small little. You don't want to use the word dynasty, I bet.
No.
What's another word?
I don't know.
I mean, not you're not a chain.
No.
You're not, and you're definitely owned by you and your partner. So it's not like you guys are selling these to people.
No, we don't have any Bitcoin.
Any intention
or anything yet.
To do anything like that?
No.
Keep it local.
Yeah,
keep it small. and stuff.
I mean, I don't think we ever even planned on having multiple coffee shops. Yeah. Like, we were just like, dang, we want to have a coffee shop to where we can have cool art shows and, like, be a rad space for the community.
See, I think that's what's really cool about these spots. When I'm looking at, like, my podcast, sure, Curating Boise, the places like Push and Pour, where you guys have local artists, you know, you guys have a cool link here, it makes it that much better.
And I think the influence from, like, Prestige always doing events, oh, yeah, I mean, they filmed so many skate videos, and they were always so, like, involved in the community. And then the Crux had, I mean, shit, when Eric Gilbert was doing parts, there was music every single night. And so I always felt like it was almost like my duty of owning a coffee shop to, like, have events.
Yeah,
and, like,
keep it going.
So, yeah, so I think that was kind of a big part of it. And then obviously the success of it. And then we're like, well, we should do more of these things. People obviously like it.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think there was ever the plan.
I mean, because it's surprising to me, you know, when we get to the certain corners of Boise and even the corners of Treasure Valley, like, I don't go to Caldwell that often. No. It's like when someone wants a delivery for a box and they say Caldwell, I'm like, ooh, whoa,
yeah, yeah.
Delete. Because it's just far.
Yeah.
You know, Nampa's also a little distance.
For sure.
My brother lives on the west side. Even that, sometimes I'm like,
oh. West side of Nampa? Or
no, West Boise. By the mall. By the mall. Even then, you just get in your zone. You don't ever want to leave it,
for
you
sure.
know? And so I think, are you touching those places? Because I don't know. I think the bench does come down, but they're benchers.
Oh, for sure. Jeez. There's definitely. And there's a need for it. And
yeah,
I think Boise's growing, and I think so many people hate it, and they're like, oh, we don't need this growth or whatever. But I mean, some of the growth is positive, and it's like, if we can have people that bring more, like, culture and more arts and more music and stuff.
Sure, but I also think that Boise also has a lot of people like you that are staying and building this community.
Correct,
up.
Yeah.
So
and
you
it's
can't,
like
lay it all
the
out
more it
on
grows,
other people.
The more people that are doing cool stuff will want to come back or want to keep doing cool stuff. And it kind of is a big circle of...
Yeah.
I mean, the growth of Meridian Star and stuff, like, they can keep that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I
down
get
here,
it.
I think it's good for
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, because we do have a large influx of people, and they're going to be looking for unique things too. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why they like coming here, because it is different.
Yeah. And there's, you know, cool
small
things
still
going on.
Absolutely. All the time.
And they definitely help fuel that cool stuff.
The place up in Bench, since you dropped that guys are going to be doing something up there, is space wise, how does that look compared to the other two locations?
It's pretty similar. I'll kind of touch lightly on it, but it's the same. It's pretty similar.
Okay.
It's the same size as our Garden City location.
Okay.
So it's good. Decent, pretty big.
That's
it's
good,
old cinder block building. So.
All right, nice.
But we're probably a good 6-7 months out, I would say, from now.
Okay,
if not
so
longer.
Winter
you're
time.
Always, yeah, probably winter time. Maybe
great.
Sooner, ideally. I mean, ideally, you'd be like 3 months, but
pumpkin
everything.
Pumpkin spice lattes,
yeah. Yeah, all day. It's fall, come on over.
Come on over, Push and Pour.
Yeah,
spice.
Definitely not pumpkin spice lattes.
I know.
Not this year or next year. Maybe when we sell it to Starbucks or something.
Yeah, maybe. See, trust me, someone from Starbucks will be knocking on your door. Definitely.
I don't even know how that works or wants to work.
But. Oh, no, they will. They'll be like, wait, who's this Push and Pour character?
Right.
We're buying them out. Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll be able to say no to Starbucks.
Right, and be like, no, we'll just keep having cool art shows.
Yeah. Well, gosh, Lucas, I think I touched on everything that I wanted to talk to you about. I was nervous for this one.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I just was like, yeah, but it was good. I enjoyed
it.
Got to know you a little bit more. Seen you here and there. And it's always nice to put a very handsome face to the name.
Yeah, it was nice to come by and talk and kind of just talk about
it. You can come back anytime.
Yeah.
I'll have to do one with a collective of people. All
I know,
you guys.
Right? Oh, man.
I can't even imagine. Probably
end
up going through
in
like
here.
A 12-pack.
Yeah, you'd have to do it after hours because you'd probably get too loud.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, thanks, Lucas, for taking the time to ride your bike over here.
Yeah,
thank you, bro, for sitting in.
No problem.
And thank you to all you listeners out there. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to Curating Boise, whether it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Give me a little review or something and follow along for new episodes. So thank you. And hope you guys are a couple of beers deep.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. Hope you guys like what you heard. If you want to listen to more episodes, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. To see how I'm doing my part in curating Boise, check out my Instagrams at SavoryN, that's the letter N, Sweet Ink, and at Salvage Sisters and Son. Tune in next week. Peace.